I'd like for you to open your Bibles again to the text that we've chosen tonight in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 14. We're going to look down very quickly through some of these verses this evening, and I think we can find something that'll be a great help to us. One of the things that sometimes is never known and seen in behind the scenes in these missions trips that we take, but it's something that's going on all the time, is the great spiritual struggle that's happening at, you know, all times. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places." And sometimes when you're out there on the mission field, and even here at home we know, but sometimes it seems a little bit more evident in places like that. Now, I won't tell you about all the things that happen in the in workings of our teams and the pastors that we're dealing with and the church staffs that we're dealing with there and the workers and teachers and things like that. But Ransom and I were talking the other, I don't know if it was last night or this morning, and we started talking about, you know, how about that seem like a great spiritual battle that was going on there? We were talking about how, you know, we don't want to get into a lot of weird stuff, but we were talking about, you know, how it seemed like even all the elements were trying to play against us and the difficulties of that. And we certainly could see that Satan was battling. Listen, he does not want these people to come to know Jesus Christ. He wants them to die in their poverty and in their disease, and he wants them to die without knowing Christ. And so when we invade his territory, we're up against some real spiritual battles. People have asked me, I just got back, the reason I got to Haiti a day late, I think I've been at home a week since April, if cumulatively, not all at one time. And so I got back from Guatemala. I was home for 2 days, and I couldn't get the flight out. They went. I had to wind up going through Panama and then over into Haiti. And I'll be here till Wednesday, and then I go back to Guatemala. I've got a team of 26 people coming down there to work with us. And we've had some great breakthroughs, spiritual breakthroughs, in our work there. The place we're working in Guatemala, and we'll invite you on any of these trips, as Ransom has already mentioned, the place we work there is extremely hard. It's an indigenous village. And they're so much syncretism. They're so confused about the gospel, what it is. It's confused with their ancient religions. It's confused with the charismatic movement. It's confused with the witchcraft that's there, and just like that in Haiti too. They're so confused. They have the voodooism that creeps in. Some of the pastors even have some practices of voodooism. You know, not our pastors, not our good, sound, Bible-believing pastors, but there's these spiritual battles going on at all times. And so as I was thinking about this, and Ransom and I were talking about this, I thought that I want to look at this passage of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3 tonight so that we could be taught by the Apostle Paul and become aware of how important it is and what we gain through praying. I suppose if there is anything that a church should be known for, it is prayer in regards to missions. Alicia mentioned that I kind of have a theme, and if any of you see my stuff on Facebook, I don't post a lot of recipes and a lot of, I don't care if you guys do, and I'm not on Pinterest and all that. Go ahead with that, that's fine. But I put, you know, missions is, and then I bring something, you know, that I've studied out from the Scripture. And if missions is anything on a local church level, it's prayer. And it's prayer for young people who go out from your church. It's prayer for our missions. That's why we have the missions wall in the back there, so that we can be aware and up to speed on what our missionaries are doing and the needs, the prayer needs that they have. And just on a day-to-day and hour-to-hour basis, how important prayer is. In fact, I got another example of how important it is to know that we have people praying for us this week. I've often told stories of things that happened in Cuba and how I knew, thank God, there were people praying for us. Ransom and Ashley and I were in a car with the pastor, and he was looking in the rearview mirror for the tap-tap that these young people were riding in, and he was going head-on into another car that was coming down the road. And I said, Pastor Morge, and he turns the car just in time to miss this head-on collision. And I'm thinking, thank God there are people praying for us so that we can be rescued from these things, because the devil would love nothing more. You know, his mission, according to John chapter 10, is to kill and to destroy, and that's exactly what he's working at every day with all the saints. So a church should be known for their prayer. And the Apostle Paul, in verse number 14, said, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he begins to talk about the great need for prayer. I was thinking this week, and I was talking to the workers in one of our meetings about the need for the church to be praying, and how when Peter was put into prison, and the Bible says that in Acts chapter 12 that prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for his situation. In fact, they were praying and praying and praying, and guess what God did? He sent an angel to release Peter from the prison house. And I don't know about you, but I believe God still sends angels in answer to our prayers. And so the missions business of a church is to be in prayer. And of course, we ought to be doing that on every occasion that we can, because Jesus said, My house is to be called, what? A house of prayer of all nations. And so we need to be certainly always mindful and always prayerful. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. How many of you were praying for this mission team, these young people, as they were over in Haiti? But I hope you were praying for them. And I hope you are praying for our missionaries. And I hope you're praying for the pastor and the leadership of this church. Because if anything, if missions is anything in the local church, it's prayer. Well, what do we need to pray for? Look in verse number 16. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I believe one of the first things we ought to be praying is for power. Praying that our mission effort be strengthened. We've got a mission conference coming up here later this year in mid-November. And we are trying to highlight that at least once a month with our missions table, an announcement on it. It's in the bulletin. The pastor has mentioned it from the pulpit. Why are we doing that? Because we're going to have a speaker here and some missionaries here and an emphasis here that will help to strengthen the efforts of Beacon Baptist Church to reach around the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am so thankful, and I proudly tell people everywhere the great effort that Beacon Baptist Church makes for missions. I hear about these churches. There was a well-known pastor who was introduced to speak at a national meeting, and they said, this man's church gave 2% to missions, and the people were applauding. And I thought, wait a minute, our church gives 30%. You know, sit down. You don't have a right to, you know. I wanted to say that, but you know, they were applauding 2%. And believe me, there are a lot of churches that aren't involved that much. But we need to pray that our church would be strengthened. And if it remains at 30% or goes higher, or if the bottom line of it grows because people are giving more and participating more and loving missions more, then that's exactly what I believe the Apostle Paul was speaking about here, that we might be strengthened, that we might have strength for the mission. Verse 15 talks about the whole family in heaven and earth. We ought to be strengthened for the universal work that needs to be done for the cause of Jesus Christ. We need to be praying for churches and for missionaries that they would be strengthened. How is it? In verse number 16, it says, with might, by His Spirit. We certainly need the working of God. That we need the power of God upon our missionaries. We need the power of God upon our national pastors. I have such a great opportunity. I got a message from one of our young preachers in Guatemala this afternoon. And he was asking, how did the mission go in Haiti? And I was delighted to report to him we had had 93 people come to Christ, and he was just elated about that. I got a text message from one of the Cuban pastors. How did the mission in Haiti go? And I told him, and he said, wow, what a great meeting. You know, but we need to be praying that these national pastors will be strengthened. We had some conflict going on in Haiti this week, and I was involved in trying to help these pastors work through several issues that needed to be worked through in their churches. We have three churches that we're working very close with there. Two of the churches already have new mission works going. Well, believe me, the devil wants to fight that. And so we need to pray that these national pastors and these national churches will have the strength of God and the power of God to be able to do battle against the spiritual wickedness that is in high places. And so we need to pray that God would strengthen us with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Secondly, I think we need to pray for stability. Look in verse number 17. He said that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you might be rooted and grounded in love. We need to pray for real stability. You know, that's one of the greatest enemies that we face is the devil coming in and shaking things up, coming in and destroying new believers, coming in and destroying the testimony of some of our leaders, and coming into a new believer and deceiving them and working in them away. And so they need to be rooted and grounded. That Christ needs to dwell in their hearts, and they need to know that Christ can be at home there, and only when Christ is there, and only when they are rooted in the love of Jesus Christ, will they have the stability to stand and to go forward. You know, it's hard for them to grow sometimes unless the roots get planted down firm and deep. It's hard for them to make forward progress in their Christian growth. It's hard for them to bring forth fruit until there's some stability. You know, we know the story in the parables in the scripture of the planting and the sowing and all of the agricultural things that are mentioned in the scripture. And one of the great needs that we have is to be rooted in the things of God. The book of Colossians, we're told that as well, how that we need to be rooted and grounded in the things of God. And that these young people that were there this week, that's one great thing, especially when they're seen several times back there. They say, hey, these people didn't just come on a little tourist trip. They care about us, and they care about God's Word, and they care about getting the gospel to us. And I believe that's one reason why we are having some great spiritual breakthroughs. In the last 2 weeks that I was in Guatemala, for the first time, we had multiple people come to Christ in our meeting. Some door-to-door, some in our evangelistic children's meetings and different things. We had over 20 saved in those villages that we're working in. I'm talking about hard places. Sometimes we're translating from English to Spanish to the local dialect. And yet people are hearing the gospel and they're being saved. But we need to pray that Christ would dwell in their hearts by faith, that they would be rooted and they would be grounded and have that stability that they need. How our churches need that stability. How our national pastors need to lead our mission churches into this stability. The strength that God would give them. The stability that God would give them. And then number three, in verse number 18, he said that they may be able to comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. And I thought, you know what we need to be praying also in our missions. If we're praying for strength and stability, we need to pray for sense. Good sense. To comprehend. Comprehend what is the with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And I noticed that Paul was saying, you need to pray that you would have this sense. Pray for you, for our love to grow. You could tell these young people have been affected by what they saw. Some lady wrote a child's book called The Five Senses of Love. And I didn't read that, but I saw that was a book that was advertised. And I thought, here in this Right here in this verse are the different senses of love. Alicia mentioned that these kids have all of these emotions. They express their love in all of these different ways. Well, as believers, we need to know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height to know the love of Christ. And yet, even then, after we have began to reach the breadth and follow to the length and reach down to the depth and reach up to the heights, the love of Christ is still not completely comprehensible to us because it passes knowledge. But we need to be working on that, those senses, the senses of our love. I find that some people are very passe when it comes to their love for the gospel and for getting the gospel out and love for missions. You know, they're kind of passe. Well, I'm thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that, you know, my family has the opportunity to hear the gospel. You know, they're not affected. You know, the Bible says that our eyes affect our heart. And Jesus, when he looked upon the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And I think that sometimes we need to make sure we have the good sense to comprehend all of the parameters of love that God would have us to have, and to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. Number 4, verse 19, he says, to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's nothing that brings us greater satisfaction, nothing that brings us greater security as a person, but security as a believer, than when we learn more and understand more of the love that Jesus Christ had for us. You know why works salvation is so popular with many? Because they have not realized the love of Christ. You know why people will, sacrifice their own children? You know why people will cut themselves? And why people will crawl around on their knees toward a shrine? It's because they have not yet come to a security that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that in giving his Son, he was giving to us the complete security that I've taken care of it all. There's nothing more that you need to do. You don't need to try to be saved. You just need to believe on the Son. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And so there's great security in that, and filled with the fullness of God. As we saw these many children, that it was so amazing to visit in these camps every day, and to see sometimes John going around with 4 or 5 kids hanging on him, and him trying to hold up all these kids. And the girls couldn't walk from one side of the place to the other without the kids latching on to them. And you know, immediately you can understand that they have a lack of love, a security in their lives. They're void of that. Void of that. And so for a short time, we can take them and hug them and hold them and weep for them and give something to them. But the most important thing, as Alicia said, the most important thing we can do is to give them and teach them about the love of Jesus Christ, because that's where the greatest security is. It's not security of a good meal for today, or a bed for tonight, or, you know, a nice roof over your head, or a new shirt to wear tomorrow. But it's the security, the abundance of God's love today and for all of eternity. Amen. Isn't it good that we can have that security in our lives? Ransom mentioned Pastor Felbert. Last year we were able to, I think, give something like $5,000. Can you imagine building a house for $5,000? Well, he hasn't quite been able to accomplish that feat, but with the $5,000 we gave him, he's got several rooms. So he invited me. He and his wife were so excited. Pastor Maggard, please come and visit our home. And so on my way back from part of the interior north of Haiti one day this week, Thursday, I think it was, we came back by his house. And I had been there earlier when construction was still going on. By now, they've moved into the house. And I was kind of anxious to see what was in there. Walked in there, and there was kind of like lawn furniture in the living room. You know, the plastic chairs and a little thing in the middle. They had four of them. And they said, "Pastor, sit down here." And they wanted me to be comfortable there. I always worry I'm going to break their only furniture, you know. In Haiti, or in Guatemala, they always stack those chairs by two. And those of you who've been there with me know that. They never let me sit down in one chair. They double it up. I don't know why, but they double it up. They've actually made me a special wooden chair. But to be honest with you, I'm a little bit worried about that. But they invited me into their living room, and I sat down, and they were just saying, "Oh, we're so thankful. Thank you for helping us get this house here." And I'm looking around that place saying, "This is miserable. This is horrible." But they were so thankful for it. And finally she said, "I want you to see the rest of the house." And so she walked me into the next room. She said, "This is Pastor Filbert in my bedroom." I'm looking around. I saw no bed. Like, what do they sleep on? There was a piece of masonite, quarter-inch masonite. I'm serious. That was their bed on the floor. And then I walked into the, they showed me the little boy's room. There was no bed there either. They just sleep on pallets in the floor. And they're cooking on a kind of a homemade grill type thing in one of the other rooms. And thankfully, one of the group from New York sent me a text message last night and said, "We had some money left over, and we want to send you $600 to send to Pastor Felbert." I said, "Hallelujah!" So I don't know what he'll get with that. I don't know if he's got two other rooms he wants to finish. But this is the thing. But listen, that's not what brings security to these people. The security comes from knowing Jesus Christ. That's why he's such a joyful man. That's why his wife, and they're just loving on us, and they have nothing. I'm almost ashamed at the amount, to tell you the amount of money they live on per month. But he went out to that marketplace and bought those little gifts. He said, "Because I want you to remember to pray for us and to pray for Haiti." You know, not only do we have this security that's in Christ, the security we can give, a little bit of temporary security by hugging an orphan, by speaking words, but the greatest security is giving them Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And lastly, I want to look on further here. We need to be praying that we would be serving. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 9:37, when he had seen the multitudes, he said, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." We need to be praying for servants to go forth. Now, the first night Ransom was there in Haiti, he told me, and the pastors told me, Ransom preached a great message on missions, and we want to send missionaries from our church to Liberia with Ransom. I said, praise the Lord. And Pastor Moore said, "If nobody will go, we'll send money." And I thought, they don't have any money. But, you know, we've been teaching them about missions. You know, the piddly amount, somebody asked me yesterday, what do you think they receive in their offerings? I said, I don't know, but even if they put in a $20 Haitian bill, it's, you know, what, 50 cents or something, not even. And so you'll see these bills going in and you know, all crumpled up, and some coins and change and things like that. And that's their offering, 85% unemployment there. But you know something? We want them to learn about missions, about serving, and we're talking to them about serving with us, serving together with us, and sending out Haitian missionaries. But here in the United States, where we have 95% of all of the workers that are working in the world are working here in the United States, while in 95% of the world, we only have 5% of the workers. So our churches ought to be praying the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth, yes, even out of our church and even out of our families, and that we would not be fearful, but that we would send them forth so that they might do the work of the Lord. It's difficult. There are difficult places that need to get the gospel. But look in verse 20. He said, now unto him that is able to do. Amen? Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. We need to be praying for this great spiritual struggle, that we'd have servants to go forth. We'd be praying for servants, for serving, in even with sacrifice. We need to be praying for the power of our church's work to do what? To bring glory through lifting up Christ's name throughout all ages, worldwide. And I wonder if we're praying toward that end. I wonder if we're truly praying for the strength of our church and our missions and the stability and this good sense to comprehend God's love and what He's done for us and what we can do for because of the love He has for us, and for security and knowing that His love is enough, and for serving with His power to bring glory to Him by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I trust that our words tonight and our encouragement tonight through the way of the video and the testimonies of these young people and this word from God's book would impress us in a way that we would truly begin to pray as we should for these things we mentioned tonight. Pray for our upcoming missions conference. Pray for our missionaries that we presently support, their needs, the dangers that they face on their field, the difficulties they face on their field. And pray that God would send forth laborers from our church. Pray that God would speak to our hearts and touch us in such a way that we sense that breadth and that length and that depth and that height of His love. And I believe when we do, we'll reach deeper in our pockets and do more than we've ever done for the cause of world missions and getting the gospel out around the world.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness to us. Thank You, Father, for the blessing that we have as a local church of being a part of missions. We pray for Brother Ron as he continues to serve You as he travels now to Guatemala. And I pray that the folks will be there, over 20 people, Lord, being a blessing there. Strengthen them, protect them on their journeys. We pray for these dear people that we've seen in these slides, even now, wherever they are. On a dark night, on the island of Haiti, they need Your protection and Your grace, and we pray for them, Lord, and the ones that are serving You faithfully there. We pray, God, that we will remember that this is our Jerusalem. May we be faithful here in missions, as it was mentioned. It is the gospel. May we be faithful to take that gospel, and we give You praise for the fruit that remains because of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Greet our visitors. God bless you all. You're dismissed.